You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Hunkamiam speaking Musqueam people. And thanks for tuning in here at 1 a.m. on the radio, dialed to 101.9 FM. I appreciate it. My name is Dan. Usually I co-host a show from 4 to 5 on Wednesdays with my good friend Chase, who has joined me tonight.
Dan, you don't even know when our show is.
It is 4 to 5, right?
It's 4 to 5 on Wednesdays.
Well, we changed it. That's why I was a little slow on that one. But, yeah, so tonight you're probably wondering what the heck's going on. Why is Dan doing a show at 1 a.m. when he says his show's at 4? Well, basically what's going on at the station is something called 24 Hours of Student Power. What that means is essentially every hour for 24 hours on this day, you're going to hear student content, whether it's people interviewing bands, interviewing clubs, featuring artists, things like that. It's really cool. Big fan of it. And I'm glad to be a part of it. And so my whole shtick is going to be I'm going to interview the infamous Ski and Board Club here at UBC. So why don't you guys all say hello? Say who you are and then say one interesting fact about yourself.
I'm Chase. I also co-host the show with Dan from 4 to 5 on Tuesdays, or Wednesdays, I mean. And
you don't know when it is either.
I was trying to, you know, like, make a joke there. I don't know if you get that. I'm an officer with the Ski and Board Club.
I'm Sam. I'm a first-year rep with the Ski and Board Club, also known as a slave. That's pretty fun. I don't know. I don't have too many interesting facts, but I'd say it's kind of cool that I grew up like 5 minutes from where we are right now.
Very nice. All right. I'm Madison, and I'm president of the UBC Ski and Board Club. Interesting fact. I don't know. Maybe I grew up in Boise, Idaho, which, like, there's maybe three of us at the school, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and we got two of us in this room right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. That's pretty interesting. Okay. I wanted to ask, basically, for the people wondering out there, what's the deal with Ski and Board? What do you guys do? You know, what's your whole MO? Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, so Ski and Board is basically just a group of people that like to shred and also like to go to events and party. We usually have events around the city, just about like at bars and maybe once a month. And then we plan three trips every year. We go to Whistler opening weekend, and then we go to Revelstoke, which just happened. Actually, Sam, if you want to talk about that, we just went on that trip.
Yeah, tell us a little about that trip. I've been curious.
Yeah, that was pretty nuts. I actually left a day early from it because I'd been there prior. But, I mean, that was crazy. The snow was... the snow was nuts. I talked to a bunch of people today. It was obviously their first time going to Revelstoke. A lot of them first time skiing powder, you know, from the East Coast and stuff like that. And everyone's so hyped on it because, I mean, I don't know the exact stats, but I mean, one of the days we were there, it got like 40 centimeters. And I mean, after that, it just kept coming. So it was definitely a very fortunate trip weather-wise.
Sweet. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, so basically on the trips, we get like 52 people, right? We pack them into a bus to drive 8 hours up to Revelstoke or Red Mountain in the interior. And then it's ski all day, party all night. It's a good time. Yeah, so Revelstoke just happened. We got Red. I mean, when we're recording this, Red's coming up in a few weeks. So I don't know when this is going to air, Dan, but...
I think it'll be before the Red trip, but I think you guys will probably already be sold out. So sorry to everyone listening at 1 a.m. who's like, I want to go on a Red trip.
Everyone listening has already bought their tickets. I don't know what you're talking about.
True. And you can come next year if you didn't.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Hey, and I mean, check it out still. You can go to Member Planet. That's where all of our stuff is. Small plug, memberplanet.com/UBC Ski and Board. That's where you can get all your membership.
Nice.
If you want to join this crazy party slash ski.
I'll put that in the description for this broadcast because I imagine I'll be putting it on the CHR website, so you can catch some info about this. I'm sure there'll be other links and things to check out. But one question I had for you guys was, I've been kind of a member of Ski and Board for a bit, and I feel like I know a few people what goes on, but I really want to know what the heck, like, what are your meetings like? Because I have meetings here at the station, and they're, you know, pretty legit. Like, we have a timeline, and, like, somebody takes minutes, and, like, it's fairly regimented, so I'm curious to know what a ski and board, how it kind of operates.
Put a bunch of really hyper people with way too much energy in the same room and then try and argue about how to manage money.
Yeah, it's a pretty loose operation for sure.
We definitely have minutes. I don't know if we call them minutes, but we make the first year reps do that. They get to take notes on the meetings. But that's about all the structure we've got. Madison tries to keep it together. She's got a little notepad that she writes all the stuff down on. And
true.
He's like, we got, okay, this segment, then we got to talk about this. But then it kind of just devolves into chaos as soon as we get started on the first topic.
And it also depends. I mean, sometimes you have our good friend Steph showing up very late or not showing up at all. He's got a chicken in the oven, apparently, most of the time. But yeah, it's pretty people walking in, people got to leave all of a sudden. It's I mean, we get things done, I will say, but it takes
organized
a little bit.
Chaos.
Yeah, it takes a little longer than your average meeting for sure.
Well, it definitely works. Yeah.
I mean, we just have a lot going on, even though it seems like we're a bunch of degenerates, which we are. We've got a lot of things that we have to organize. So
it takes a lot to plan these trips and to plan the parties, to organize with the bars and stuff that we're going to and all the mountains that we travel to. It's a lot of work, but and we all have classes going on at the same time, right? We're all students, so we get stuff done, but maybe not in the most planned out and organized fashion.
Some serious intellectual degeneracy, I will say.
Yeah,
well, fair enough. So can I ask, is there anything exciting that you guys kind of have been working, other than the red trip, any kind of stuff in the works for the second half of the year, or I guess the first half of the year, second half of the school year? Is there anything that you guys have going on or are excited to kind of let people know about?
Snow pants or no pants is coming up again.
Oh,
so that's
I love
always a good
snow
time.
Pants, no pants.
Yeah, it's a great party. So, yeah, basically you have the option of either wearing snow pants to this party or no pants.
Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, so we'll go to a bar. We'll have a pant check instead of a coat check, and yeah, you can make your choice.
Yeah, we'll do that probably early February, I think, is what we're looking at, like maybe February 6th. But keep a heads up on Facebook and Instagram for that.
Yeah, and just get the word out for this other thing that's coming down the pipeline in a while. It's a kind of a collaboration we're doing with a bunch of clubs. It's like the UBC Adventure Film Festival next September.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was going to mention.
Yeah.
Jason,
our buddy Jason, he's been working on kind of getting a film festival off the ground, which I think is really cool. And a big fan. My band might be playing there, not a big deal. which brings me to my next question. Mostly for Madison, but when is my band going to play at one of the ski and board parties?
We should get that locked down. That'd be fun. I mean, it depends on, like, what venue we would do, but I'm sure we'd be open to doing that.
Okay. I was thinking Selma, backyard, with all
the backyard stage would be sick.
That would be so sweet.
Hey, you want to play the pre?
What about
for St. Patty's?
St. Patty's, yeah. That's what I was just going to say. Okay. St. Patty's would be fun, as long as it's warm.
Yeah, we'll talk. You know, we'll talk.
Not bombing around.
Yeah, for everyone listening, St. Patty's is always a blast.
Yes, that's a big one.
Yeah.
We throw a big favorite. Big party in the backyard of one of our houses and then go to the bar afterwards. So stay tuned for that one, too.
Yeah. No, I remember St. Patty's Day last year. Just to kind of paint the scene for everybody because it's a little nuts. So if you come to it, don't expect it to be, you know, like hanging out with your family on Christmas break kind of deal. I think about 100 people were in a backyard, maybe more than
that. Is that not how your family hangs out?
No,
yeah.
Not. At least not when I'm around.
Off roofs onto tables. That's not how your family operates at Christmas.
No, not usually. Usually we don't get a lot of free kegs either, but maybe next. There's always next year.
Yeah, no, my backyard currently has, I think, 8 empty kegs in it that just have not been returned anywhere. Just a nice decoration for the yard.
It's good seating. I remember using those in the summer for seating.
That's true. Yeah, with the table made out of a door.
Yeah,
you got a door with the on top of kegs as a table. It's perfect.
So one other question I had for you guys was, what's the biggest challenge?
misogyny is legendary. My reputation for misogyny is legendary. My reputation for misogyny is
Transcare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities.
They are doing this by developing gender-affirming, client-centered models of service.
Ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available.
And supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support.
Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for the trans members of our community.
A wise man once said, UBC Ski and Board is the black sheep of the AMS.
9 out of 10 dentists agree that joining UBC Ski and Board will make you more friends than your mom ever had.
As the largest club at UBC, our membership offers you legendary parties, outrageously cheap ski trips, and sweet deals on local bars, restaurants, and gear shops.
Don't worry if you're new to skiing. There's a place for you in the UBC Ski and Board Club.
Swing by our office on the third floor of the Nest and check us out on Facebook.
So, one other question I had for you guys was, what's the biggest challenge with skiing, like running ski and board? Do you guys have a lot of run-ins with the AMS, or do you have like any like logistical issues that occur or anything like that? Or is it pretty smooth sailing as far as club stuff goes? It's money.
Money is a big issue, but that's not really like logistically. We kind of handle everything ourselves. We work with the AMS a bit. Obviously, they handle like the financials for all the student clubs.
Yeah, so like that's where our bank is through. Is the AMS has our bank, so it's just a bit of a process getting money in and out of there.
Yeah, there's a bit of bureaucracy, but that's how it's got to work, right? We're sanctioned by the school. We run through the school, so that's how that works.
Yeah. It just like comes into complication when you're like organizing these trips where you're dealing with like $25,000, right? So
exactly, and you're dealing with so many people trying to come pay at the office or like e-transfer one of us randomly, and you're just, you know, like all these, because we have a ton of events as well, so it's kind of hard to like keep everything in a ledger as like exactly what's going on at all points and like safe in the office and all these things. But
right, we highly subsidize all of our trips through the club, so the price that people pay to go on the trips is not what it costs, right? They're helping us pay for it, but we, from our other revenue sources, like pay for a lot of the stuff, like all the alcohol, and subsidize the lift tickets and all the stuff like that that they get. So just getting that money and keeping up with the amount of money we've got and how much we can subsidize each trip, that's probably the hardest part of the logistical side of it.
I can attest to that. I mean, I just spent a while in Revelstoke, and I mean the Revelstoke trip we did, the cost of that was, you know, for transportation, accommodation, lift tickets, everything, was less than I spent in 2 days on lift tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Well, I was gonna ask too, if money is such an like not an issue, but like something you guys obviously have to be cognizant of, does Ski and Board do any fundraising or anything like that? Or is it mostly just you get your sponsors and they get that sweet, sweet moolah? Or how does that work?
I wish we got money from our sponsors. But no, we've got we have all of our parties. So if you're listening, you want to support us, buy a membership to the club, come to our parties. That's how we're able to do everything that we do and throw the cool events that we have.
Yeah, like our memberships are $20, and then that gets you cheaper tickets to all of our parties. So if you're going to come to our events, then it makes a lot of sense to get one of those membership cards. Plus, for those of you who haven't even come into the office to get your membership cards, there's a bunch of really sweet deals on the back of those, too, so it's a good idea to get those. We sell T-shirts, too, so if you ever want to come get a T-shirt in the office, those are pretty sweet. And if you're a member, again, they're cheaper, so they're like $10.
And what's the room number of the office again?
Oh, it's 3301H. So if you go up to the third floor of the Nest, like if you go up the stairs, then look to the right, there's a surfboard in the window, because we share our office with the surf club.
With being a club that has like such a narrow focus, do you guys find that it's hard to kind of expand, or do you find that finding members is fairly an easy thing for the club?
I think it's pretty easy, honestly. Like, I came to UBC, I'm a first year this year, and I knew about the club well before I came to the school. Like, it has a reputation as honestly being like a co-ed frat that's not a frat, and everyone skis and everyone is super dope. Like, it's, yeah, I mean, I've met tons of people in my first week of going to school here that were like, oh, yeah, I'm going to join the club. And I was like, oh, that's sick. Like, do you ski? And they're like, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a ton of members that maybe, like, it's their first time skiing, or they aren't, like, really big skiers like some of us might be, but it's a whole community of like just really cool people, so it's cool to get involved and to meet everyone at the parties. And then you have a group, maybe if you want to get better at skiing, you can go up to Whistler and ride with these people.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, if you checked it out on Imagine Day, our booth is popping.
Yeah. Well, we're the second biggest club on campus, so we usually have over 500 members each year. So.
Dang. Do you know what the biggest club is?
CVC.
Yeah, the CVC.
CVC. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. That,
yeah. Well, it can't. Yeah. It's just an acronym now.
I'm saying it. It's not right. As cool.
Chinese University Club. Yeah.
Do you guys have many run-ins with other clubs or anything like that over? I don't know what you would have a run with a club over.
Surf club. We got some real beef with Surf Club. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's not beef.
No, it's real beef. Don't mess with them.
Yeah, don't mess with the Surf Club. They steal our office for their meetings, and then we steal their office for our meetings.
But yeah, quite interesting. I walk into the office, and I'm just like, who are you? And I'm Surf Club. Ah, okay.
It's a lot of the same friend groups, though. Like, a lot of Surf knows Ski and Board and stuff. So I think we've done, like, parties with Surf in the past, but
yeah, I mean, that was all a huge joke. Like, we love
yeah,
Surf Club.
Cool. Well, I was gonna ask a little bit about the sort of the community surrounding Ski and Board. I just went up to that Whistler trip last term, right? Yeah, Condocram. Yeah. I think it's really, really cool that there's such a tight-knit group of people that are so open to meeting each other. And I don't know if you guys can speak to sort of any experiences you had on any of those trips where you were just, like, it was just really cool to kind of meet new people and a cool experience you might have had being up in the mountains.
You meet so many new people on those trips, especially Condocram, because we had, 106 people on that trip this year. Yeah. So it was, like, a really big group of people that a lot of them are first years or exchange students that you would never really meet other than in this community. So I found that really cool. And still I have people that come up to me on campus or at another party that we're at and be like, oh, hey, Chase, like, we met at Condocram. Like, maybe I remember them, maybe I don't. A little bit of intoxication going on at Condocram. But
slap the bag.
Well, for sure. Slap the bag.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say I, like, met all my friends through Ski and Board for the most part in my first year, and then now it's just
bubble.
Fun. Now it's just fun to... Wait, what did you say?
He's in bubble. You're in a bubble.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, like, the thing is Ski and Board has so much outreach where it's just, like, people from all sorts of groups around UBC that come because it is such a big club, and we've really tried to make it, like, all-inclusive like that and not be too bubbly clicky or anything, but I'd say it's really great on the trips meeting, like, new exchange students and first years and everything, and that's why we have an exchange rep to, like, get those exchange students in and being able to ski.
Yeah, and it expands outside of that for sure. I mean, there's so many people that go on a trip like Condocram, for instance, who have been here for like 2-3 years or whatever, and then you go ski with them, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're lapping the park or something else, and you've met like 50 new people because they know everyone in Whistler. Mm-hmm. And so you, like, meet all these people that you wouldn't normally know in the skiing community just by knowing someone that you're on the same trip as.
That was my experience as well.
A chance that was just a dream some of us had. Still a lot of lands to see, but I wouldn't want to stay here. It's too old and cold and settled in its ways here. All the California, California, coming home. I'm gonna see the folks I dig. I'll even kiss a sunset peak. California, I'm coming home. Who did the goat dance very well? He gave me back my smile, but he kept my camera to sell. Oh, the rogue, the red, red rogue. He cooked good omelets and stews, and I might have stayed on with him there, but my heart cried out for you. California, oh, California, coming home. Oh, make me feel good, rock and roll band. I'm your biggest fan, California, I'm coming home. streets are full of strangers. All the news on your ears just give you the blues. Just give you the blues. So I bought me a ticket. I caught a plane to Spain. To a party down a red dirt road. There were lots of pretty people there, reading Rolling Stone, reading Vogue. They said, how long can you hang around? I said, a week, maybe two, just until my skin turns brown. And I'm going home to California. California, I'm coming home. Oh, will you take me as I am? Strung out on another man, California, I'm coming home. Oh, it gets so lonely when you're walking and the streets are full of strangers. All the news at home you read more about the war and the bloody change. Will you tell?
French vanilla.
French vanilla.
French vanilla.
French vanilla.
French vanilla.
MRG Concerts and CITR presents French Vanilla at the Biltmore Cabaret on December 5th. Tickets on sale now at mrgconcerts.com and eventbrite.ca.
Tune in every other Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. for Blood on the Saddle with your host, Dan N., for real, authentic country.
I joined the club, I guess, 2 years ago. And, you know, like, you know, come into university first year. I mean, you're a pretty chill guy, so, I'm surprised how comfortable you are, because I came in a little self-conscious, you know, a little nervous to join a new club with a bunch of people who are way better skiers than I am, you know, hucking backflips and stuff like that. But no, I think, like, something if I would tell people about the club is that it's so, like, there's no judgment. It's just everybody just wants to have a good time, just hit the slopes, have fun. And I really admire that about the club, because I feel like there's a tendency for there to be sort of a, I don't know what the word would be, like, superiority complex with people who might have been in the club longer or might be a better skier or better boarder, but I totally did not really find that, which I thought was really cool. So I guess that just speaks to sort of the kinds of people that are in this club, like very humble, very cool people just down to have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I joined the club, it was my first year on Imagine Day, and I walked up to the booth. I mean, as a first year, you're like, oh my God, there's so many people everywhere. I come from a smaller city, so it's, I don't know, there's probably more people on campus here than I ever see in my life. I walked up, like, started talking to the guys. They offered me a beer. Obviously, I
was
declined
19.
Because I was 18, so I definitely
turned that one
down. Right,
of course, we don't
condone
underage drinking.
Absolutely not. So, but yeah, it's just, like, immediately accepted me into the community. They'd never met me before. I never talked to them, but it was really cool, like, most of my friends first year came from that. I don't really know people in my program even to this day. Like, everyone I know is from ski and board.
Yeah, and that's actually crazy, because you meet people, and like you said, it's no ego. Like, you meet someone and you have no idea, but they could be the best skier or the best snowboarder you've ever seen in your life.
For sure.
And like, you have no idea. Like, they're just your homie.
Yeah. Well, that's what Chase is like. I mean, I didn't even realize how good he was for so a long time after I met him. And then he's like, yeah, I coach it, like, kids at Woodward and stuff. And, like, he's skiing in the summer. And I'm like, what? Like, this guy is legit. This guy's legit. Like, one of the better skiers I've ever
Chase
seen.
Chase is a boss.
Thanks, Dan. I mean, it's funny because I think the same thing about meeting other people in the club. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're insane. Like someone you would never know, you ski with them for the first time and they rip. And you're like, I could never do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was even just up with my roommate this weekend, and he had a buddy with him, and I went out and skied with them. He's just like, how do you know, like, he was saying this to my roommate, he was like, how do you know so many people who just shred? Like, it's so funny, you just know so many people on the mountain. And it's just kind of that, like, ski and board community that, like, once you meet one person, you start meeting other people, and it's just cool to go out with people. And, like, you know, there's all sorts of different ability levels too. It's not like you have to go out and ski hard every day. Like, there's people who like to just go up, you know, once a month or something.
Hit some groomers, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I love
some
a good
hot chocolate
day.
Laps.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I go for the après ski personally, but no.
I just go hit up Longies after a nice day of whiz.
I just got these new skis, and on the, like, sidewall of it, it just says, I'm only here for the après. Favorite
Black
part
nose?
Of the ski? No, they're Moment Bellas.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Can we talk gear real quick? Because
sure,
this is a ski and board interview, so I guess.
Time to plug sponsors.
Yeah, time to. So I'll ask, just give me kind of, each of you individually, kind of give me a rundown of your kit, as they say, your whole,
the skis, what we're riding
on this
year.
The twigs you're riding on.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
I got some new shoes last year. Got the, Armada Invictus 108s. That's, what I've been riding for big mountain stuff. I really like them. They're, like, super stiff ski, but I don't know, like, you can get really technical with skis. Everything's, like, super, like, I don't know, defined, like, manufactured right in a certain way. But, yeah, so I've been loving those skis. And then I also ride J-Ski Whippets for my park days. Sick hot laps.
What about you, Sam? What do you...
Yeah, I'm pretty dripped out this year, honestly, and some Helly Hansen stuff. It's pretty nice.
Oh, nice.
And then, yeah, I got a bunch of K2 gear, so some K2 Mindbenders, big POW ski, like 116 underfoot, big, like, heavy charge ski. And then a pair of Poachers for the park. Super fun.
Nice. What about you, Madison?
I had some lines that I was on for a long time that I retired to my park ski, and then I have some forefront Devastators, but they're reverse camber, and so I got kind of sick of not being able to shred on groomers because, like, reverse camber, like, there's, like, mustache rocker, and then there's reverse camber, and the reverse camber.
She's also selling those.
Yeah, I'm selling them. So if you want them, please hit me up. They're sick skis, though, but I just can't justify having, like, three pairs. I needed a one quiver ski, and I wanted to shred the groomers. So the Moment Bellas are sick for that, and also still get, like, charge. So.
Yeah, I mean, reverse camber, also known as rocker. Yeah. It definitely does not help you ski on groomers, right? Like, if you have, like, a super rockered out ski, you're going to have no contact area on the snow, and then mm-hmm. you're going to be squirrely, like, all over the place.
A super rockered out ski means it looks like a banana.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Exactly. That's yeah.
Thank
way
you,
to
thank you.
The mustache and then
you're
the
welcome.
Bananas. Yeah, yeah.
But then as soon as you get those things into powder, right, it's going to stay on top, right? Mm-hmm. That, like, curve up in the tip and the tail is going to keep you on top of the snow the entire time, like, even
it's like
if it's 50, 60 yeah. centimeters deep, right? So that's what that is meant for. But then you get into a day where it's not like a blow or pow day, and you're not having as
kind
good
of a
time.
Bummer.
Yeah.
So do you guys usually go up with multiple pairs of skis? Or do you check the forecast like a smart person and then hit it depending on what the conditions are?
I feel like I feel bad taking, like, more than one pair of skis when it's usually, like, ride share, because we have our UBC, like,
skiing
board ride share thing. But, I mean, like, usually I'm just going up with, like, friends and stuff now, but I feel bad.
I drive my car, so I bring up both my skis, like, most of the time. Or when I had, like, my big POW skis, too, before I sold them, I'd bring those up, too, because I'm too lazy to check the forecast, and I'd get up there and be like, oh, look, it snowed overnight, I'll take these.
Yeah, I have a pretty different methodology. I kind of just decide what I'm going to ski based on, I don't know, like, whatever my friends want or something. And I've never taken more than, like, one pair of skis to the mountain. And then, yeah, like, when I went to Revelstoke, I just took the POW ski, obviously, you know, park.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I don't think I've ever... Well, actually, I took snowblades out with me one time, but I never used them. I'm too scared to hop on those things. They look treacherous.
Snowblades?
Yeah, snowblades are super fun.
I'm so scared to use them.
I work at the ski shop in the, like, over Christmas break and in the summers, and my boss just got some snowblades and put shift bindings on them.
That's
ridiculous.
The most unnecessary thing ever.
I know.
Yeah. Nobody is going to know what we're talking about.
Shift bindings are, like, super expensive touring bindings for, like, backcountry skiing.
And a snowblade is a tiny ski.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know how long
that's
those
like
are.
Three
like,
a, and a half
like
feet?
100 centimeters
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. Pretty short.
You need, like, a ski thesaurus at the bottom linked to
linked to...
a glossary of all the terms.
Yeah, a glossary. There you go.
So tell me, but you just mentioned that you guys have a ride share. Maybe do you want to kind of talk a bit about how that works?
Yeah, it's just a Facebook page. I think it's just UBC Ski and Board Ride Share via Whistler or something like that. It's got a weird long
it's
name.
Whistler Ride Share via Ski and Board.
Just put, you know go Facebook search, do Whistler Ride Share UBC Ski and Board. It'll come up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then people just post in there, like, hey, I'll bring snacks if you get me up to Whistler kind of thing, you know? Like, usually there's some pretty funny posts in there. But, yeah, it's just people posting, like, hey, I need a ride up to Whistler, or hey, and I need a ride back to Vancouver. And then it helps the driver out with gas money, and it helps people who don't have cars like me get up to Whistler and back.
That's good for the environment.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's also another thing about the club is, like, we talk about these trips we do, but, I mean, all of us are in Whistler on the weekends as well.
Every weekend.
Yeah, we're all there. And so I mean, there's tons of our members that are just, you know, all carpooling together, crashing on people's floors, whatever, just going skiing.
Yeah, and sometimes we have a hard time with that with new people who come up and they're like, hey, I've never even been to Whistler before. Like, how do I get a trip? And, like, for a lot of us, it's pretty easy because we just have friends who are going up all the weekend, every weekend, so we're used to doing those trips. So we've been trying to set up something with a snow bus just to make that easier for everyone, which should be in the works soon, which is where you'll be able to just go online. And we'll have a special deal through Snowbus, and then you'll be able to get picked up. I think it's on Dunbar is where their pickup is.
Yeah, so
and
super then, close to UBC.
Yeah, super close to UBC, and then you'll be able to get up to Whistler on the bus. It's like, I don't remember what the round trip price is, but super reasonable. And then there's also links and deals on like rentals and all that kind of stuff, just making it easier for people who don't do Whistler weekends every single weekend.
So since you guys do Whistler weekends every single weekend, can you tell me about maybe like a secret? I don't know if you want to give away your secrets. You don't want to crowd some spots on the hill. I understand, but do you have any like go-to spots where you like never let you down? That's like where you're gonna go to ski when you go up there.
Well, this is Whistler we're talking about, so anywhere that you might think is a secret is absolutely not, and it's gonna be skied out within an hour.
And the Whistler Freeride Club has already been there.
Yeah, that's true. Any before you get there, Whistler Freeride has been there and 10 other places.
Yeah, no, honestly, there's not too much to divulge there.
Okay.
I mean, you can see there's so much terrain in Whistler Blackcomb. Mm-hmm. Like, it's insane. But, I mean, you can have so much fun just skiing the lift line of a chair. It's all a matter of timing, essentially. I mean, you can get lucky, you can get super not lucky. You can just see something and go jump off it. It'll be fun.
Well, there goes the question, is Blackcomb or Whistler?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Whistler.
No, see, I'm a Blackcomb guy personally.
I'm a Blackcomb guy,
wrong.
Too. I gotta be honest.
Yeah, so I've been talking actually recently to a bunch of like people that grew up in Whistler and around here, and they all seem to be Whistler people. Like, they all just love Peak. It's Peak and Harmony Symphony. Yeah.
Those are all chairlifts, everyone.
Yeah, so that, like, surprised me at first, because all I've really ever skied, I think the first year I was up here, I skied 50 days on Blackcomb and one day on Whistler. Like, I'd never ski Whistler.
That's so unfortunate.
But there's so much on Blackcomb. Like, Spanky's, there's so much back there.
Yeah,
like,
I like Spanky's a lot.
Like, Ruby Bowl is super fun. All glacier. Of the bowls back there in the glacier are awesome. Seventh.
Yeah.
Under Glacier Lift. Yeah. Crystal. There's just so much terrain.
If you want some fame, you got to go to Peak Chair and go jump off something.
Air Jordan.
Of the chair.
Air
yeah,
Jordan.
Hit Air Jordan. Oh, go hit third time. Step. Shout out to Matthew McDonald, old time ski homie, ride or die for
Happy
Peak
Meal.
Chair. Yeah, Happy Meal, the boy.
It's all about showtime, hey? You got to show off for the people. Give them something to watch while you're up there. Well, the other thing I wanted to ask was if you guys have any tips for people going up to ski Whistler. The only tip I would give, and I give this one all the time, is don't buy food on the hill. Like, take a sandwich up with you. You can even freeze it and defrost it in a microwave, which I've done before, so you don't have a sandwich popsicle. That's a little gross. But
also their poutine is delicious.
But also chili cheese fries.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't buy alcohol. If you want a Rona, it's going to be like $9.
Oh, yeah, that's the better tip.
Yeah,
you can
don't
buy food.
Alcohol.
Yeah. Buy food, don't buy alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, you get a lot of food. I mean, it's still a ripoff. Like, it's so expensive, but like, you know.
That's just like, you learn to live with it.
Yeah, at a certain point.
You pay to play.
Yeah, hit the Timmies up before you get up on hill. Hit Timmies and Squamish.
Squamish.
Not the Whistler Timmies. That one's trash.
Yeah. I'd say, like, ramen in the pocket, though. You could do that. There's,
ramen,
like, hot
pocket ramen.
Pocket ramen.
Yeah.
Do you brew it in your pocket, too? Or
yeah,
you
just pour it right in there.
Yeah.
Super awesome.
People steal food off the, like,
the trays.
Your food back.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're really trying to ski bum it, you can eat people's old fries. You can, like, mix ketchup and creamer together, a little tomato soup.
Yeah, I've seen all of that stuff. It's not for me.
That's a little rough.
I'd rather brew pocket ramen.
Yeah.
You gotta respect it, though.
Yeah.
Respect the hustle.
Yeah.
Just eat butter, you get all those calories. So
true.
Many calories. Just.
Yeah. Take a shot of hot sauce. You're good to go.
Yeah.
That'll fire you up.
What's a good spot for après-ski that you guys always hit up? I know you mentioned Longhorns. We've been to Garf's. We've also been to, what was the one with the?
Tapley's
with
the
dartboards. That's a good
one. Yeah, I prefer, like, Tapley's is probably my go-to for if I'm going to grab a drink, or Garibaldi Lift Co.
Yeah, shoot. Yeah. If we're talking like right off the mountain kind of thing, then
you're
probably
definitely not going to Garf's right off.
No, you're not.
You could try. I don't know.
That'd be a show up to Garf's in your ski boots. I don't even know if they'd let you in.
It's been done.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's huge.
Sounds like a Sasha Boy move, honestly.
Yeah, spec.
Yeah, so that, I mean, hate to plug it, but RMU is actually pretty sick on Blackcomb right now.
Ignore that.
No, they just opened up a shop there that's pretty sick, and they got a bar. Yeah, good beer, easy access.
I didn't go. Where is it?
It's in Blackcomb Village, so not in, like, the main Whistler Village, but in Blackcomb Village.
It's really far away.
Like, where the Blackcomb Gandhi is?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, if you can tell, Sam's not a fan, apparently.
No, just kidding. It actually looks pretty nice. I haven't been. I won't
yeah,
hate.
It's just so many of our friends are now sponsored by RMU. That
yeah,
kinda,
I've seen constant posting all these stories. I've had enough of the influencing.
Yeah, so we're a little RMU'd out, but also it's kind of sick, so.
Okay, sweet. Well, can you, because I actually don't know what RMU is. Would you be able to explain it?
I'm not sure either.
Just explain it to me.
It stands for Rocky Mountain Underground.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like a ski company that also opened up a bar and a coffee shop.
Yeah, it's like
they're originally from Breckenridge.
Which is a dope concept, I will give it to them.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, they had a shop in Breckenridge and maybe Denver now too, and then they opened up one here in Whistler this year. That's about it with RMU.
How do you guys feel about Vail buying Whistler? I know this happened like quite a while ago, but I'd still be willing to get. Oh, this is a taboo topic. We can't get into it.
Get into it. I don't know. I grew up skiing Whistler. Very fortunate for that. But I mean, you can definitely tell that there's the bit of the spirit of Whistler is gone. I mean, Vail's business model is like they came in. They'll lower a bunch of the like seasons pass prices and this and that, while at the same time they buy every single ski shop in the village. And so like all the core shops have all been bought out. They're all owned by Vail. So now like no chance you're going to get a sick deal on anything in the village. Like the maximum sale you'll see is like 15% or something. Dang. Like, so that's kind of annoying. They just like, you know, buy out all the local businesses and whatnot and, you know. Whatever,
I mean, it works for them, but they're definitely creating, like, a monopoly in the ski industry for resorts. They've bought up a ton of different resorts, and it's super helpful when you got the Epic Pass.
Sure.
Yeah, that is nice. I will say
that's
nice.
And you can go, like, over the break, I skied Park City and Sun Valley for free because I already have the Epic Pass, so that was sick.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Like, I'm going to go to Australia first semester next year, and then I'll probably get an Epic Pass because then I can ski Perisher and also Whistler when I come back second semester.
Yeah, exactly. So it's super nice for that. It just definitely changes kind of the vibe, like ski town vibes of places.
Definitely.
Makes it more commercial.
We also used to have a pretty like close relationship with Whistler, like our ski and board club did. And like we get money from Vail actually because we push season passes, like our student passes. And so we've worked hard with them to do some marketing and stuff. So they're great and are giving us some money just to like kind of keep our club running still. But we definitely used to get a decent amount more from Whistler. I don't know how much I want to speak to it, but
no
it
worries.
Helps with our money or that goes to the money issues.
Yeah, well I don't know, I've heard mixed, I have like just now I've heard very mixed things about it. There's some pros and some cons, like the convenience of the Epic Pass is nice, but also I didn't know that they were buying up local ski shops.
Yeah,
that
it's
really
a dirty
stinks.
Secret
yeah, that stinks.
Yeah, but then also I mean like look at the Blackcomb Gandhi that they put in, that thing is broken half the time.
Yeah.
And no, I mean, like, there's so many stories surrounding what's really wrong with it. People say it's like a third party company that has faulty sensors that go off, but then I mean, I don't, it's kind of just a huge wash. Like, it was two chairs that worked fine. They put in a Gandhi that just breaks all the time.
Yeah, but also RIP Cat Skinner.
True.
They spent like millions of dollars this summer to move the mid station lift like 6 inches or something, 6 inches to the right or left, and it still breaks down all the time. So,
yeah
I don't know what's going on with that guy.
Good to know the money is being well spent.
Super well spent.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's not our money. So
they got a lot of it.
Yeah.
It kind of is our money.
Yeah. I mean, I paid for C's back.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. Dang. Now I know how I feel when the government wastes my money. Same thing. Same thing.
It's a government of skiing right there.
Yeah, it's an oligarchy.
Okay, well, we're going to kind of wrap it up. We're about almost 40 minutes in. So I just want to thank you guys for coming on. I really appreciate it. To let everyone know, spoiler, this is not live. I would not drag my friends into the studio at 1 a.m. Although they probably would come because they're such beauties. So appreciate it. But yeah, just thanks for coming on. Thanks for kind of telling people a little about skiing board. And is there anything you want to tell the people out there before we end here?
Just look us up on Facebook. Follow that. Follow our Instagram. That's where we post everything. So join skiing board. Buy a membership. Come to our parties, join the community. It's pretty sick.
Get corked.
Yeah, there's still a lot of time to get corked.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thanks for having us on, Dan, and hopefully to the people listening at 1 a.m. who haven't heard of Ski and Board, they'll think to join because we'd love to have you.
And that concludes this one-time spinoff episode hosted by yours truly, Dan. I'm going to also shamelessly plug Dialectic Radio. You can check us out Wednesdays 4 to 5. Great time, good music, good times, good vibes.
On Instagram, dialectic_radio. Yeah. Dab that up.
Thanks for listening, and take it easy out there.
Hey, I'm Sarah from Alien Boys, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Thank you.
This production was made and recorded on the unceded, traditional, and ancestral territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Clothing Optional, the Sex Positive Podcast, is a production of CITR 101.9 FM.